Ask me to read for him before he gets up. I'm going to be reading Matthew chapter 6. Right? Is that right? 6? Okay. We're going to start in verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men or to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do a sound trumpet before, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and that your Father who is in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, that they may have the reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think what they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Jesse. Just to kind of set the stage a little bit for this message. As many of you know, I've changed jobs. I'm left the company that I'm working for and doing my own thing. And in light of that, Kelly is starting to pack. We don't have to actually move out of our residence till May, but Kelly's gradually packing one or two boxes a day. And the first thing that she decided to do was pack my study. And so there's nothing there. There's no old messages, no commentaries. The drawers are empty. And and she wouldn't tell me where they were. She says, you need to come up with a new message. And because sometimes my old messages become my crutches. I can take something that I spoke 12 or 13 years ago. They'll never remember that. And, change it up a little bit. And it's sometimes we do that as preachers, I think. Maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one that does that. But And then I look at Dave there. He just looks so relaxed. It's funny how it is when you're preaching. I know if I were to preach on a Sunday morning, when I come Sunday night, I'm very relaxed and kind of just look at the other preacher and say, oh, it's all on you now. Anyway. Don, can you put that verse up? There's a verse that kind of maybe got me thinking about this message. And if you leave here with nothing else but having memorized that short verse, it's Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him, God is a refuge for us. The other night at Bible study, I wasn't there, but another passage that caught my attention in the Gospel of Luke was when the Lord Jesus, before he came and named his disciples, he prayed all night. And I'm sure probably by now you may gather what the subject matter is this evening. It's prayer. Speaking of prayer, I want to commit the rest of this evening to him. Father, this evening we are a blessed people. We thank thee for the opportunity to gather around your word. And pray, Father, that as we would look at some verses, look at some thoughts, that you would be over it. And that you would bring to home the things that we need to remember. And Father, we thank thee for the privilege of prayer. Sometimes I think we don't avail ourselves of the very thing that we need. And so, Father, we pray that you would bless your word this evening, and we pray these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. There's a story told of a pilot flying a small plane. And he gets into a bit of trouble. And so he radios the tower ahead and he says, I'm 300 miles out. I'm 600 feet off the ground. And I've run out of fuel. Please respond. And the tower responds immediately and says, listen very carefully. Say this, Father, what's the start of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That seems a little funny story in respect to prayer, but the idea was sometimes we use prayer as our very last resource. Those of us that are saved here this evening, the greatest thing that has ever happened to you in your life is the salvation of your soul. And maybe the second most valuable thing is your access to God through prayer. Trust in Him, the verse says. It says, pour out your heart to Him. What does that mean? To pour something, to pour this glass of water out, would simply mean that there is nothing left in the glass. Have you ever done that? Have you ever poured out your heart to God? Now, us men would not really want to tell anyone that we were crying out to God in weeping and bawling, because that's kind of a little bit of a sign of weakness, isn't it, in the world that we live in, you know? But have you ever done that? Maybe poured out your heart to God in respect to someone that you're concerned about? Or maybe there's a crisis in your life and you pour out your heart to Him, cry out to God. That's what this verse is saying. And like I say, if you get nothing else from this message, but you memorize that verse, trust in Him at all times, you people, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Prayer may very well be the commodity that Christians don't use when it's 100% available to us through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Do you talk to God? What is prayer? It really is simply this: talking to God. Do you talk to God? If I were to ask you, and I'm not going to ask you to raise the hands, but if you could rate your prayer life from 1 to 10, where would it fit in? How much do you pray? Do you pray as a Christian? It's very easy not to pray. It's very easy to go through life because we live, as we were reminded this morning, in Little Prince Edward Island, we don't worry about our next meal, do we? Or predominantly, I'm looking over the crowd. We can be very self-sufficient. But we were also reminded this morning, and David reminds the young people, that nothing that we have is our own. We were bought with a price. And the Bible says, therefore, glorify God in your body. So I've outlined a simple message, and because I don't have, this is my outline because I didn't have a book to go with. So this is number one, is what is prayer? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Number two, how prayer to God was made possible. How is it that God hears us? Why it should be our way of life. Our manner of life should be a life of prayer. Why is it that it should be that? And number four, what is the ultimate purpose of prayer between God and you and your prayer to Him? Does it benefit you? Does it benefit God for as individuals to talk to Him? Does it have a benefit to God? Does your prayer benefit God? These are the things that I want to look at this evening. What is prayer? Well, those of us that are married know, or maybe do not know, how to communicate to our wives, or vice versa. And in order for us to know a person, we need to communicate with them. I know that sounds very simple. But those of us that are married, maybe I'll speak to husbands, sometimes we don't communicate very well, do we? We think she knows what we're thinking. We think that she knows exactly what's bothering us, and maybe we just haven't communicated audibly to her. Prayer is communication with God. There's different types of prayer. There's prayer of adoration. There's prayer of intercession. There's prayer of confession. There's prayer of thanksgiving. All these things that we will touch on a little bit tonight. This whole idea of prayer is not something that I can exhaust here tonight. But I got Jesse to read the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer in the New Testament. And the problem at that time was when it was given, there was a ritualism of praying, was it? And before the Lord's Prayer was given, there was things how we ought not to pray like. Vain repetitions. Standing out kind of in public so that people could see us. And alms were the good deeds, but it also says, go into thy closet, and when thou prayest, pray like this, Our Father which art in heaven. Number one, hallowed be thy name. He starts out with the prayer. The model prayer is in adoration. It's basically in praise of who God is. Sometimes our prayers, our prayer life, is like asking and not praising. We tend to ask a lot from God. There's religious groups out there that say that if you pray for certain things, that God will give it to you, no matter what it is. And it's, you know, the health and wealth where, you know, we're all going to get if you just believe. But we know that the truth of the matter is we need to pray in the will of God, and that is in connection with the Word of God. The psalmist would say this, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. There's a prayer of confession. Sometimes I think our prayer life may be hindered by sin in our lives. I'm not bringing to light anything that's new here this evening. You've heard this before, but if we go to the book of John, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the verse prior to it talks about, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourselves. And sometimes I think even the smallest of things bridge that communication gap between the access we have to our Heavenly Father. Confession. We think of King David, who was a man after God's own heart, and after he had sinned and he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he set up her husband to be killed. David says this in the Psalms, against you and only you have I sinned. David truly confessed his sin. Confess it audibly before God in prayer. When I think of the prayer of thanksgiving, my mind automatically goes to the Lord's Supper. We thank Him for what He has given us. These are simple things, but I think I speak to myself. My prayer life is not where it ought to be. I don't avail myself of access to the very one who created the heavens and the earth. He hears me. God hears you. God hears your prayer if you're saved here. He hears you. And His desire is to respond. It may not always be exactly the time that we expect, but God answers prayer. Thanksgiving, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think some of the characters in the Old Testament, I think of Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers, thrown into a pit, and he eventually could say this, you had meant it for evil, but God had meant it for good. He was talking to God. He was in a relationship with God. He understood that even though the circumstances weren't good, God had a plan. God was over. God was sovereign over the circumstances of life. I think of the example of Mary. I think of Mary as she viewed her son on the cross. In all things, give thanks. You think Mary thanked God? Has she seen her son being crucified? What good came out of that? Every circumstance in life, God is over. And that particular circumstance gave us salvation. Now, I don't know whether Mary totally understood all that it did. Giving thanks in all things. There's prayers of supplication. It's basically meaning beseeching or a petition or appeal. I did use Google. I didn't have books, but I had Google. And so I did Google this. Sometimes we pray for things just for our own personal appetite, don't we? I think when we're on track with the things that I've spoken out of as far as types of prayer, if there's a balance in all those types of prayer, then I think God, the connection or the relationship or the communication between you and God is way clearer. Confessing your sin, bringing to forefront who God is, his character, who he is, what he has done. Seek a balance in all four types of prayer. How prayer to God was made possible, or how is it that God hears us? The unsaved, the religions of the world, God does not hear their prayers. Now, I want to be careful about this, but if they are not seeking his face in salvation, if they are separated from God and they're having requests for things and they are separated from God, I don't think God will hear their prayers. God hears the prayer of a repentant sinner. I don't want to be careful. I don't want to just kind of scope that over everything. God is working in all, in the lives of individuals that know not him. And maybe what we would perceive as a prayer of unbelief or a prayer for something, I'm not the one to judge that. But the reason that we can talk to the Creator is because the Lord Jesus Christ died a violent death on our behalf. A violent death. We know of what men did to the Lord Jesus. We hear it in the accounts in the Gospels. We hear it prophetically in the Old Testament. But the reality is, we have been brought back to God. I can talk to God. You can talk to God. That's a very simple thought. But it is profound, isn't it? I can talk to God, and he hears me because of the Lord Jesus. It's no small thing to be saved. It's absolutely no small thing. Take yourself back before you were saved. You were enemies of God, separated. Now we've been brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In light of that, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find, that we may find, let me re-quote that. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why should prayer be our way of life? Well, the Word of God instructs us to do so. Colossians 4, verse 2. You can turn there. There's many instructions about prayer. We're going to talk about our greatest example of prayer, the Lord Jesus Himself. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 reads this, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." His instruction in the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6 is a step-by-step type of prayer, wasn't it? The idea wasn't that they would repeat that prayer in repetition, but it was a general guideline on how to approach God. I think of in the Gospel of Luke when the Lord Jesus went and he prayed all night. Imagine. I didn't get to the Bible study, but I'm sure there was some discussion. He went and he prayed all night. I take that as maybe 8 hours. Maybe he prayed for 8 hours. I don't think the Lord Jesus prayed out of his head. I think he prayed out of his heart. I think he poured out his heart to God. Maybe he was asking for direction in who he would name. I don't know. It doesn't tell us what he prayed for. But there's many instances in the Word of God where we even actually hear what the Lord Jesus prayed. I think of his prayer in Gethsemane. As he sweat great drops of blood, and he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He was praying to his Father. His prayer when he hung on the cross, "Father, forgive them." What does prayer actually do in reference to us? What is prayer to us? What does it show? What does it show about us when we're ones that are marked with prayer? Well, number one, it shows a reliance, doesn't it? We don't own anything. That paycheck that gets dropped into your account, that check after a job well done and you sell something or you do a service and you get paid for it if you're in business on your own, it's not yours. It's not mine. It's all God's. We tend to rely on that, don't we? We live in a society that is very successful. I worked hard for that. That's my money. And then when we maybe give the Lord a percentage, maybe 10%, we almost feel that the rest is ours to do what we want. No, it isn't. It's all God's. Everything that you have, every breath you take, every copper in your bank account, it's all God's. It's all about Him. What we do with those things, God watches very carefully. Do you prayerfully consider maybe where your money ought to be going? How much you ought to give? It says, "With food and raiment, therewith be content." I struggle with this. I constantly struggle with this because you know what? I think I can make it big in business. I think I could be very successful. I think I could hire a few people. I've made a move. I can go on my own, and I judge no one. Everyone answers this in their own hearts. But I have something to give God. It's all His, and I want to give my time to Him, and it's an imbalance, isn't it? And when we pray to God, we should pray in such a manner, understanding that everything we have is His. God, I'm at your disposal. I'm relying on you. Everything that I have is yours. I trust you. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. When's the last time you poured out your heart to God? Maybe laid prostrate and said, God, use me for your glory. That's the second part of what prayer does. For us, it shows a reliance on Him, or it ought to. But ultimately, what prayer does, or ought to do, it ought to bring glory to God. It should bring forth who He is. What does that mean? What does glory, what's the word glory mean? Well, it means respect, honor. Our prayer life ought to elevate God and diminish us. I need a better prayer life. I don't know about you. I need to get on my knees. I need to pour out my heart more often. I could remember very clearly before I was saved, pouring my heart out to God. I wanted to be saved. Quite honestly, I could maybe count on one hand the times since that time that I've poured out my heart to God. He's my refuge. He's everything. Trust Him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. He's my God. I can talk to Him. I can communicate to God because He is mine, and I am a child of God. He is my Father. Pride often does not allow us to rely on Him. We can do it ourselves. How absurd is it that when we trust Him for salvation, we think that the rest of it is up to us? Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I'm going to read that verse one more time. It just struck me so hard. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You have not because you ask not. Would there be better? Would there be more souls saved if we were better prayer warriors? I don't know. You can answer that. I don't know the answer to that. I believe there would be. If we poured out our heart to God for a revival, would it happen? Cried? When you pour something out, there's nothing left. It's empty. You empty yourself to God. Not out of the head, out of the heart. Pouring out your heart will eventually build our confidence and reliance on God and elevate what we appreciate about Him as He accomplishes His will in our lives. Maybe you're here tonight, you're saved, you don't have a prayer life. That's possible. That's possible. Mine was slim to none at times. Maybe you just don't know where to start. I don't really know how to start. How do I start my prayer? Well, God's got that covered. Because he says, we don't know how we ought to pray. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that great? I don't know how to pray. I really don't know what to pray for. How do I start? I've got a lot of sin in my life. Well, confess. Put the Lord where he belongs. Just start your prayer with praise. God, you're so far above me. And I'm thankful for my salvation. In thanksgiving. That's a good start. Pour out your heart. There's no right or wrong way to pray. The Bible tells us to pray continually. That doesn't mean all day long, but it means in the spirit of prayer. You can pray for the small things in life. God, help me. Help me with my day. Help me to stay healthy so I can provide for my family. Things that are according to his will. He knows that men, that we ought to be good providers. Like, are we not to pray about that? Or do you just think that, you know what, I've got a good trade and I'm pretty skilled at what I do, and I really don't need God to direct me today because I got it under control. I got a list, and I'm going to conquer the list today. I'm not coming home. I do that. I make a list. And Kelly will text me about what time you home for supper. Well, I'm just going to finish the list. I'll get home when I get home. We're so self-reliant. I'm so self-reliant. I need to pray to God for everything because I need direction. I need direction in my life. I can't go it alone. If you're unsaved here, you can't go it alone. You need the one who has created you to direct you. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge. He's my refuge. Is he your refuge? Do you communicate with him? Imagine being married and never communicating with your wife, just living with her and never talking to her. How would your relationship be? Where would you be in your relationship? It's the same with God. Prayer is communicating with God. How are you communicating with God? I need to check my own life. I rely way too much on me and very little on God. And it's very easy to do. I'm going to end with this verse. We are bought with a price. We know what that price was. We're not our own. We were bought. Out of the slave market of sin, as some preachers would say, we're bought with a price. It was with the price of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. In light of that, the verse says this, therefore, here's the word again, glorify, bring to light the attributes of God, his grace, his provision, his mercy. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are mine. No, which are God's. The benefit to prayer for you, understanding who God is. That's great benefit. There's no greater benefit than to know God. The benefit to God is that he might show forth his glory in your life. As you give over, as you ask him, as you pour out your heart to him, the benefit to him will that his glory will shine forth. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I can scarcely take it in when I think about it that I can talk to you. That was not always the case. I was separated by my sin, and I had no hope. But I've been brought nigh, I've been brought close, I've been brought back into a family because of the resurrected Lord Jesus and the work of Calvary. And now I have an opportunity to pour out my heart to you daily in everything, so that you would receive the glory, not me. And that I would begin to understand who you are. I need to talk to you more often. I do this with all respect, Father. I pray for each one here. Let's just check our prayer life. Let's be a people of prayer. I think of the Lord Jesus, as he often would sneak away and pray to his Father. Father, may it be the case that we would be a people marked by prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Maybe, Father, asking for help in lives of others. So, Father, that you could eventually show forth your glory, and that you could answer our prayers, and that your will be done. Father, help us to remember we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits. Father, may it be so of us, may it be so of me, for his name's sake. Amen.